I know the elections and you voted on Tuesday, but I'm going to ask you to do some more voting this morning. These are easy, so you won't get, don't stress out too much, okay? What I want you to do, though, is to vote either, say the words either real or fake, okay? I will read a couple or say a couple of statements, and you tell me real or fake, okay? I think I got this first one out of a, this magazine where you check out by the cashier at the grocery store, that real reliable one. It's called, I think, National Enquirer or something like that, okay? So see if this one is real or fake, okay? Surgeons were able to sew back on a young man's head after it was completely chopped off. That would be fake, okay? Fake. This one, okay? Three people were found who were originally, they're still alive, but they were on the Titanic that sank. Would that be real fake? Yeah, otherwise they'd be, 140 years old at least or whatever, okay? So that would be fake. Okay, now it gets a little tougher, a little bit more difficult, okay? My grandma was a Christian. My brother was a Christian. My parents are Christian. My sister is a Christian. So therefore, I am a Christian. Hey, very good, very good. Okay, how about this? I trust and have faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior who has forgiven all my sins, and I know I have everlasting life after I die. Real or fake? There it is. There's the real gospel message. There's the good news of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of fake stuff out there, isn't there? There's a lot of fake, not only fake news, fake campaigns, fake everything, but there's also, sadly enough, there's a lot of fake gospels out there as well. A lot of fake, phony gospels. And this morning, we want to ask the question, and we'll look at 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4, and we'll find the answer to what is the real gospel? What truly is the real gospel? Because after all, it has eternal implications to it, doesn't it? So we want to find the real, true gospel. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John tells us that the gospel has basically three elements to it. It is incarnational, it is verifiable, and it is transformational. First of all, the gospel is incarnational. And we say, oh my goodness, that's a long word. Oh, I've heard it in church a few times, incarnation, but what really does it mean? What does incarnation mean? It's simply the fact that God, that Jesus, who is God, who is eternal, often we forget that, don't we, that Jesus is eternal? Okay? He is one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is eternal, but he came down from heaven like 2,000 years ago, and just as we confessed in the creed, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He became one of us. That's what the incarnation is. The incarnation is God coming down from heaven and becoming human, becoming one of us. We call it Emmanuel, God with us. God is now a human being in Jesus Christ. And he was born, yes, of the Virgin Mary, like 2,000 years ago. Jesus is incarnational. Now, the epistle of 1 John, as well as the Gospel of John, was written at the time where there was a lot of false teachers, a lot of fake gospels, a lot of heresy that was trying to make its way into the church. And under these heresies, we could blanket them all, basically, under one big, huge umbrella, and that would be called Gnosticism, okay? Gnosticism, which is G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. It's from a Greek word, gnosis. Gnosis meaning knowledge. So they claim to have this secret knowledge, if you will. And under Gnosticism, then, they said that the world, the material world, is evil. So the body is evil. And so underneath Gnosticism, underneath this heresy, there's a couple other subcategories, if you will, which were also a big threat to early Christianity, especially in the first century. We see strands of it today, certainly, as well. And a second one is called Arianism. There's a bishop, Arius. And Arius believed and taught that Jesus was human, yes. He may even go as far as saying Jesus is a God, but he wanted to make it sure it was a small G-O-D. But Jesus was not equal, was not equivalent with God the Father. He was not equal with God the Father, and so Jesus claiming to be God was false, is what Arius taught. Well, among that too was sort of an opposite belief, a heresy called Docetism. Docetism is one that early heresy that taught that Jesus was not really truly have a physical body. He was more of a spirit. And yet we see these heresies are put to rest in Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1, you may know this by heart even, it certainly sounds familiar. In the beginning was the Word, okay? The Word there is, you know, Logos or Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go to rest, Arianism. Jesus is God. He's equivalent. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am. Jesus is saying, I am God. He's equivalent with God the Father. And so we can put that heresy to rest. And here in the First John, the epistle of 1 John, the writer is telling us these heresies can be put to bed. Docetism. Jesus does not really physically have a body. I mean, after all, the material world, Gnosticism says, the material world, the body is evil. So why would Jesus take on an evil body? But yet we read in verse 14 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Flesh. Jesus had eyes, ears, nose, toes, everything like we have. He became a human being. Jesus is incarnational. That's the real gospel. Jesus, God steps down from heaven in Jesus and becomes a human being, becomes one of us. And so what's that mean for us today? It means Jesus knows what you're going through. He's right here with you. He knows what you're suffering through. He knows what it's like to suffer as he himself suffered. He knows what it's like to die as he himself died. Jesus can have true empathy, true sympathy for us. As we go through these difficulties in life, Jesus is incarnational. He's here with us as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. There was a country western song by Bette Midler, I think it was. God is watching us, right? And I think some of the lyrics in that song is, he's watching us from a distance. False gospel. God's not watching us from a distance. God's right here with us. He's incarnational in Jesus Christ. He's right here as we go through our struggles, as we go through our pilgrimage here in this life. Jesus is here with us. God is here. He is present with us. He's not some far-off God in the distant galaxy that we pray to and hope, and we hope that he hears our prayer. Oh, he's a long ways off. Our God is right here with us. It's this intimate, loving God that we have. He is here with us as we go through our trials and tribulations in our life. And he's here incarnationally through Jesus Christ. Well, the real gospel is incarnational, but it's also verifiable. It's verifiable. The real gospel is not some fairy tale about Jack and Jill walking up a hill. It's not some fairy tale from Disney. The real gospel is true. It's verifiable even. It's true. If we look at those four verses in 1 John, just the first four verses of chapter 1, there's like 14 times the word I, us, or we is mentioned. And what John is doing is saying there is, we are eyewitnesses. I saw Jesus. He goes back with Peter and James and the other disciples, Bartholomew and Matthew and all those. They were eyewitnesses. They verify the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the forgiver of all our sins. That's who Jesus is. We have these eyewitnesses. We've seen it, John says. And in his gospel then, in chapter 20, he says, now I'm writing these things down so that you can believe it, so that you can have salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. So John records that for us. The gospel is verifiable. Over 500 people witnessed his resurrection at one time. And we say, well, okay, yeah, you know, the Bible says that. Well, what about some other outside sources? It's full. There's all kinds of non-Christian historians who record the fact that Jesus walked and lived there in the earth and walked. Josephus, a non-believer, records that. Many, many volumes of writings about Jesus. The gospel is verifiable. It is true. Somebody once put it this way, and I love this illustration. Say, for example, I have a jar of jelly beans up here. I should have brought some, huh? Aren't we hungry for jelly beans? Okay. If I had a jar of jelly beans up here, and I ask all of you to guess how many are in this jar of jelly beans. And there could be all kinds of answers, you know, 300, 350, 400, you know, however many you think those jelly beans are in that jar. Well, how would I know who's right? I put them in the jar. I could count, right? One in the jar, two in the jar, one in my mouth, three in the jar, four in the... Pretty soon the jar would be full of jelly beans, and I would know, okay, there's 360 in the jar. And then I would ask you to make a guess. There are all kinds of guesses. And somebody would probably say 360, and they'd be right. I could verify it. I could say, yes, you're exactly right. It's exactly right, 360 jelly beans in this jar. Now, keep that in mind as I ask you this question. What's your favorite movie? Now, for me, it's coming up this time of year. Oh, I love that movie. It's A Wonderful Life, right? Great movie. So that's my opinion. I think that's the best movie of all time. For you, Star Wars, right? Star Wars, Harry Potter, or some of your classics, right? Singing in the Rain, right? That's maybe your favorite movie. And I bet if we went through everybody this morning and asked what your favorite movie was, we would have as many answers as there are people here, probably. We all have our opinion as to what is the best movie of all time. Some would say even Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. They're crazy, but some people say that. There's lots of opinions about movies. Folks, the real true gospel is a jelly bean question. It's verifiable. It's not somebody's opinion. It's not my opinion that I think is right, or your opinion. It's not a movie question. It's a jelly bean question that can be verified. But don't we sometimes make the gospel, a movie question? You know, oh, so-and-so, oh, they believe this. They think that, you know, oh, you know, if I try hard enough, live a good life, then I'm probably going to go to heaven. Well, you know, hey, if that's what they believe, more power to them, right? Or it could be something completely different, too. And yeah, we say, well, as long as you believe something, as long as you believe that, well, then, hey, just believe it with all your heart, and that's good for you. It may not be what I think, but who am I to push my beliefs onto you? And we do that, don't we, with the gospel? We do that. We make it into a movie question where it's somebody's opinion. Well, so-and-so thinks it's this. Yeah, but so-and-so believes this. Oh, well, it's fine. That's not what it is. It's verifiable. Jesus has told us what the good news is. It's not only incarnational, it's verifiable, but it's also transformational. We're transformed by the gospel. We're transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ because we were made alive. You were once dead. We were dead in our sins. Spiritually speaking, we were corpses. We did not live. We were dead. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. You and I were dead in our sins. Spiritually speaking, we had no life. Corpses, dead. Till when? Christ. He made us alive. Made us alive, brought us to life. Spiritually speaking, we're brought back to life. We're given life. Jesus Christ, as he came at your baptism, as he came and gave you faith in your heart, as you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're alive in Christ. He's transformed us. He's changed us from being dead to alive. And now, you know what? As we live our lives as Christians, we have joy. We have joy in our heart. Oh, we may not be happy every day. We may not be happy about every situation in our life. We may not be happy that we have to go through this struggle or that struggle, but yet we have the deep joy of knowing Jesus as our Savior and that he's there with us and he's going to get us through this struggle. He's going to get us through this tough time in our life. As he's there with us, he's incarnational. He's with us always. And he's going to help us to get through the tough times in our life. And ultimately, our joy will be made complete. Some translations say our joy will be made fully. The last verse of verse 1 of chapter 4 says our joy will be made complete in heaven. We're not going to live forever here on earth. We may be blessed with 70, 80, 90, 100 years here on earth, but eventually it's going to end. And then our joy will be complete, totally complete happiness in heaven as we live forever with Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is about. Jesus suffering and dying for our sins, opening the way now for everlasting life for us as believers in him. So the true gospel, the true good news of Jesus Christ, that good news is incarnational, it's verifiable, and of course transformational in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's do a couple more quizzes to conclude, okay? Final voting until next time when we have to vote again in November, huh? All right. True or false? You know, if we live a good life, try our hardest, and just believe something, we're going to heaven. Is that true or false? False. Let's conclude it with this. If we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as he has forgiven all our sins, he's our Savior, we have a relationship with him, and we know we're going to heaven when we die. True or false? There it is. That's the true gospel. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is not fake. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that one who is the true gospel, the good news, who came down from heaven, became one of us, suffered and died for the forgiveness of all our sins, and now he is right here with us too, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.